only so blood could be shed, but as an emblem, a symbol, and a power that anything of the flesh can be torn and broken away. Addiction can be torn this day and on any day through my name. Depression and discouragement is torn, and my blood will flow over and through that situation to bring healing spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Anything of the flesh will never be greater than the power of my spirit and my blood, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why don't we worship Him together for just a moment? Why don't we stand together and clap hands and lift voices and thank Him that we have access to His presence? Come on, all across the building. Would you thank Him that we have access to His presence? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we worship You today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was that veil that was rent. It separated them from that holy, righteous presence of God. And this morning, just as that veil was rent when Jesus died, we have forever been granted access to His presence. There is nothing that can stand in between me and the presence of the God that created me. So you can be encouraged this morning that whatever you feel may be in your way, if you'll make up in your mind, Lord, I'm going to worship You. I'm going to enter in with my praise. I'm going to enter in with my response to Your presence. There is nothing that can keep you outside of God's holy presence. I think we ought to thank Him for that one more time. Would you lift your voice together with me? Would you offer Him your praise? Lord, we worship You. Hallelujah. Come on, just for a moment, let's entertain His presence. Lord, we worship You. Hallelujah, we thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your presence, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And what a privilege to enter into His presence. And what an honor on this first day of the year to enter into His Spirit, to enjoy His presence. No doubt there are some here that are weary in your body this morning. Perhaps you stayed up to ring in the new year, and you're feeling a little bit today. But I honor you for being here this morning. I honor everyone. Certainly, we've already welcomed our guests, but I honor everyone for being in the house of God. I don't know a better way to start the year than to be in His presence and to worship Him and to entertain His glory and His goodness. One more time, that feels good. Would you just do that for a moment? Just entertain His presence, Lord. We honor You. Hallelujah. Praise God. Exodus chapter 14, and I'll begin reading with verse number 10. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 10. Didn't the sign team do a fantastic job? I noticed there were some people up here who had served God for not very long at all, and there were some that had served God a little longer. No matter who you are, no matter what your knowledge is of God, you may know very little about His presence this morning. You may have more questions than you do answers about the Bible this morning. But no matter who you are and where you are in your understanding of a relationship with God, you can have access to His presence. You can have access to more of Him today. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were very afraid. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. That's a good thing to do when you're afraid, to cry out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have You taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have You dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt?" Can you imagine? They were at this point literally questioning their own deliverance, wondering why they were brought to this point. It's amazing how circumstances around us can in mere moments zap us of our faith. zap us of our vision for what God is doing in us. He said in verse 12, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better that we serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. God's got a word for somebody this morning, that thing that has been pestering you and plaguing you, he's going to do away with it, and you're not going to have to deal with it anymore forever. Anybody have faith to believe that this morning? And here's how it's going to happen. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? What are you still weeping and moaning about, Moses? He said, tell the children of Israel, it's time to go forward. Tell the people of God, it's time to go forward. I believe God wants to move us into what he has for us this year, beginning even with this service. I want to preach to you just very simply about moving forward. Moving forward. Would you lay your Bibles down and would you give him your best praise that you've given him all morning for just the next few moments? Would you give him your best praise and your best worship that you've offered him all day? Would you give it to him right now? Lord, we worship you. Oh, I think we can do better than that. Would you lift up a loud voice of praise, maybe a clapped hand along with that raised voice? Let's praise him for just a moment. Lord, we honor you this morning. We worship you today. We magnify you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise God. Why don't you turn to somebody around you, say, the new year's here. Let's get moving forward. Turn to somebody else, say, Happy New Year. Let's move forward. When you've done that, you can be seated in Jesus' name. We're just a few hours removed from the infamous ball dropping in Times Square, a tradition that began in 1907, and without going into great detail or spending much time, basically symbolizing the releasing or the dropping of the old and the entering of the new. Basically symbolizing releasing the old and embracing the new year. I got to find out that some people beyond just at Times Square and even outside of New York City last night, some people around our great nation dropped some pretty interesting things to share this symbol. There was in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, there was a giant 85-pound marshmallow peep that was dropped. You know, like the kind that you get on Easter? An 85, anybody like peeps? My limit is about one a year. I just can't handle much more than that, but an 85-pound peep. Why? I don't know. In North Carolina of all places, on this place that used to be called Flea Hill, you imagine what they dropped? They dropped a 3-foot-tall wooden flea to symbolize out with the old, in with the new. In Alabama, a 600-pound moon pie was dropped last night. That's a lot of moon pie. In Maine, one single sardine was dropped to symbolize out with the old and in with the new. A duck decoy was dropped. I don't see Brother Joe Weston here, but a duck decoy was dropped in Maryland to symbolize out with the old and in with the new. A peach was dropped in Georgia, an apple in Manhattan, Kansas. A truckload of cheese in Plymouth, Wisconsin was dumped out. Anybody love cheese? I love cheese. Why would you waste a truckload of cheese? People are crazy. 200 pounds of bologna was dropped in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Look at your neighbor and say, that's a lot of bologna. Don't tell them they're full of bologna. And finally, this was probably one of my favorite, back to North Carolina. In Brasstown and in Mount Olive, North Carolina, a possum and a pickle were dropped. I won't waste any more of your time explaining what those things were supposed to represent, a possum and a pickle. I didn't come to drop a possum or a pickle this morning. Hopefully when this message is over, I haven't dropped a watermelon. But all these things to symbolize releasing the old and embracing the new year. All of these things, people going to great lengths, building 3-foot fleas and concocting 80-some pound marshmallow peeps. All of these things to symbolize letting go of the things in the past year and embracing the things in the new year. We don't have anything like that to drop today, but I have come to preach this morning that we do have a destiny in God to embrace in 2017. I've come to preach to somebody that God has something for you this year, that God has something more in store for you in 2017, that we're not going to backpedal into it, but we're here today to declare we are moving forward into what God has in store for us this year. If you want that, would you clap your hands and thank Him for the opportunity of the new? You can't relax your way into your destiny. You can't backpedal your way into your destiny, but you've got to go forward into your destiny. It doesn't matter how much potential or promise or possibility lies in an individual, lies in a church, lies in an event or a move of the Spirit. It's all for naught if we do not move forward into it. It's all for naught if we don't embrace it and say, Lord, I want what you have for us. The writer of Hebrews in 6:1 said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Brother Raymond Woodward said this. He said, if you see the therefore, you've got to see what it's there for. And we must do this. We must move forward because of what the writer of Hebrews explained in chapters 1 through 5. All that the Lord has done for us. He said, therefore, we are leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Leaving does not, I taught about this a few months ago or included this in some teaching. It doesn't mean we're leaving the doctrine. We know that's not going to happen. We know that's not what the writer of Hebrews was saying, nor is it what we're going to practice. We're not leaving it as in we are letting it go or leaving it behind. But what he was saying is now you've got to move beyond those principles. You've got to move on. He used the word into perfection or maturity or completeness in God. In other words, what the writer of Hebrews was saying is that I cannot stop building. I cannot stop moving. I cannot stop going forward just because I've got a good established foundation. But the writer was saying it's time to move on, to move forward to all that God has for us. And if I ever stop moving forward, I'll spiritually die in my journey before I ever come to a place of promise. If I ever stop progressing in God, I've seen in years evangelizing, I've said this before, I've not only seen believers, but I've seen churches, I've seen individuals and ministries that were just shells or skeletons of what they once were and what their potential and possibility and their promise represented, because they came to a good point in their journey and they decided it was good enough. It was all right. And they ceased to move forward, as the writer of Hebrews declared and challenged us to do. I've come to preach to some individual here this morning and tell you, you may have been discouraged in 16, but it's time to move forward. You may have been discouraged last year, but it's time to move forward. There may have been some things happen that you didn't understand, but it's time to move forward. God has something better. God has something more. Don't stop where you're at. Is it all right to preach this on the first day of the new year? And maybe you didn't have anything go major wrong. Maybe everything was right. Maybe everything was good. Maybe you were content. But I challenge you as well. God wants us to move forward. God doesn't want us to settle with good enough. But He wants us to move forward into all that He has in store for us. You believe that? Would you clap your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I want what You have for us. Part of going forward is knowing where we are right now. 2 Corinthians 13 indicates that we got to examine, evaluate, inspect ourselves, whether we be in the faith or prove ourselves. And I know there are a couple of applications to this particular passage. But let me tell you today, what we are challenged to do is to look at our own spiritual condition. I'm challenged to look at where I am in God. I've got to get real and I've got to come clean about where I really am. Well, I lost all the amens, sorry. I've got to get honest and come clean, in other words, Paul's indicating, about where I really am. Examine my own self, whether I'm making any real progress in my walk with God, in my commitment to God, in my worship, in my priorities, whether I'm really moving forward. In other words, I don't want to sit at the end if the Lord tarries. I don't want to sit on January 1st of 2018 and look back and see that I've really not progressed at all in the entire space of a year. I don't want to look back and see that I'm still where I am right now at the beginning of 2017, but I want to move forward in Him. 430 years had passed approximately since God had brought Joseph to Egypt. God placed him there during this famine to preserve the seed from where eventually would come the Messiah. And now the children of Israel are captives. They're crying out to God for deliverance from the bondage of their cruel taskmasters. And God sends Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God was wanting to bring Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, into the promised land that He had promised Abraham and Abraham's seed. And perhaps you've heard the story through a miraculous provision that I won't go into great detail of, through the providence and the hand of God. God did just that. Pharaoh let them go because of the plagues and because of the mighty hand of God. He let them go. He released them to flee. And now, just a few days into their journey, the Egyptians have had second thoughts. They've had questions about letting their slaves go, questions about letting those children of Israel go. And so, just like the enemy does, the enemy came back after them. The Egyptians got them in a place where they felt like they were trapped. They felt like they had no way out. Can I pause here and tell somebody, the enemy wants you to think you're trapped. He wants you to think that you don't have a way out or a way up. He wants you to think that you don't have a way moving forward. That sounds good. January 1st, whatever, whatever, preacher. But you feel like you don't have a way forward, or you don't have a clear path to go forward in God. For whatever reason, I'm locked in and I can't move. Or maybe you even feel like I'm in danger of going backwards. Can I declare to you what you should already know, that the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. God didn't bring us this far to leave us. God didn't bring you this far to leave you to your own devices. God didn't answer that many prayers in your life to now say, it's 2017, I'm going to leave you to your own thing. No, I'm preaching that God still has a plan. God still has a path. God still has a way. God still has a promise. God still has a deliverance. And He's saying it's time to get moving forward. said, Moses, tell my people it's time to go forward. Now, to our guests, let me just make a little disclaimer here. You've already learned we get a little excited in church. And we don't apologize for getting excited. We don't apologize at all for getting excited. Everybody has passion. You say, well, I'm not really an emotional person. Oh, yes, you are. God created all of us emotional beings. You just pick and choose what you give your emotion to. And that's a message in itself, but that's directly connected to the affections of the heart. What you give preeminence in your heart. So we get a little bit excited about our Jesus. And I get a little excited when I preach. Especially when I talk about what God has and the promise that's in store and the place that God has for us. I was evangelizing years ago and one little kid that came on the bus was sitting up near the front. I may have told this before, and he said to me afterwards, he said, "Preacher, you sure screamed a lot." Now, you know, it's an easy analogy and we've beat it to death around church for decades, but it's true. The reality is true. We get excited about all kinds of things. And if some of you were at the Winter Classic and the Blues were smoking the Blackhawks, you'd get excited. Maybe there's not many. If the Cardinals were smashing the Cubs next year in the season, there we go. Okay, see, you just picked your passion. All right? If Bama was rolling over, I know that only means something to about two people in here, but if Bama was rolling over the Washington Huskies like they did yesterday, some of you got a little bit excited. I don't apologize for getting excited and passionate in church. The world thinks that's strange. They think that's weird. They think that's odd, but I think it's odd that I get excited over a hockey puck or a ball or an athlete. I get excited about those things too, but those things never change my life. Those things never answered my prayer when my kid was sick, burning up with fever in the night. Those things never helped me get through a hard time. So I get excited about Jesus because he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. And if he's done something for you in 2016, I think it'd be a good time to take a little praise break and say, Lord, I'm excited about who you are. I'm excited about what you've done. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If he's brought you through, if he's brought you out, it's a good day to give thanks unto the Lord. If he's delivered you and set you in a high place, it's a good day to give thanks to the Lord. If he's even answered one prayer, it's a good day to give thanks to the Lord. Woo. I get excited because I hear the Spirit saying, move forward. I've got more for you. Move forward. The best is yet in store. As we enter 2017, I hear the Spirit saying, it's time to move forward in our praise. It's time to move forward in our worship. It's time to move forward in our commitment. It's time to move forward in our faith. It's time to move forward in our giving. It's time to move forward in our consecration, our prayer, our fasting. It's time to move forward in our evangelism, in our unity, in our purpose. God's saying, I want you to move forward. Tell my people, he said. He said, Moses, tell my people. It's time to go forward. But if we're going to go forward, we've got to be willing to let some things go. They almost missed their promise because they let their past just about rob them of their future. And rather than looking forward, they look back. Sometimes when we're trying to go forward, it's hard to let go of the past. But looking back will set you back. Well, let me say it again. Looking back will set you back. You can't start the next chapter of a book while you're still reading the previous chapter. and you can't start the next chapter of what God has for you in your life in 2017 while you're still mulling over everything that went wrong and everything that went right in 2016. Hey, there's a reason that the windshield in your car is this big and the rearview mirror is that big. It's because you're not intended to go forward while you're paying more attention to what's behind you, hello somebody, than you are than what's in front of you. So no matter whether it was good or no matter whether it was bad, no matter if it was great or if it was absolutely terrible, the Spirit is saying it's time to get moving. It's time to go forward. It's time to let it go and move forward. Paul teaches us a powerful, important principle about moving forward in Philippians 3. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, not erasing them from your memory. We can't do that. And when it comes to good things, and it comes to honorable things, and things that we cherish, and when it comes to godly foundation, we don't want to forget those things as in erasing them from their memory. But if you look up what this text means, it's easy to see. Pick up any commentary. Look into the original Greek. What he's saying is that you've got to stop focusing on what God has brought you through, what God has brought you out of. You got to put it out of your mind. In other words, he's saying change your focus. You cannot focus back there and go forward to there at the same time. I cannot adjust my focus at what is 10 feet behind me while I move forward to what is 10 feet in front of me. Anybody ever been walking in the dark or maybe in your house in the night and you are looking at something off to the side and trip and fall, stumble? New Brunswick, Canada. And in the month of May, I believe it was May, I think I was up there. And long story short, we were in the woods and had an encounter with a black bear, an angry black bear. And I was, I was in the tree. And nightfall came and the bear was about 30 yards away. And so help came to get me out of the tree. I know I told you it's a long story. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. But we find the bear never left. But we finally got enough time shining lights in its eyes. You could see it baying its head about 30 yards away. Lord, I knew I couldn't outrun the bear, but I was pretty sure I could outrun the guy that came with me. So I was, what a friend, huh? You don't have to run faster than the bear. You just got to run faster than the other guy. That's terrible, Lord. I apologize. Forgive me, Lord. I've already sinned this year. That bear was baying its head. And so finally I got down out of that tree and he said, all right, on the count of three, run. And so we took off. We ran. And we had about 300, 400 yards to go before we got back to the trail and where the four-wheeler was at. We were running along and it's dark out. I got this little headlamp on, but I'm not looking where I'm going. I'm just running and we got about 50 yards from the trail and I heard him behind me. He was saying, all right, we can slow down. I said, not on your life. I didn't think the bear was chasing us, but you don't take chances. Some of you are thinking, yeah, you're a knucklehead for even going out there. That's another story too. But we got about 50 yards and I wasn't paying attention to where I was running and man, I just bit it. If there had been a way to get that on camera, I'm sure it would have been a YouTube sensation. I was running and just face planted right in the dirt, came up with that, Canadian moss and dirt all over me but I didn't stay down long. I was back up and it hurt and I got the wind knocked out of me, but it's amazing what adrenaline will do when you think a 400-pound bear could be behind you. So we ran and we got there and obviously we made it out and we're here. But the point I'm making is that you will stumble, fall. We can be ineffective. We can lose our trail, lose our path. You can get lost in the woods and you can get lost in life if you're trying to move forward while you're constantly looking back. You don't know what you'll stumble into, what you'll run over, what the Spirit is saying, what the Apostle Paul was saying. It's time to get a fresh vision of where God's taken us. It's time to get a fresh vision of what God has in store for you in your personal life this year, and say, God, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to let go of what's behind me, and I'm going to move forward into what you have for me. Some of the hardest lessons in life are learning how to let go. Whether it's let go of people or let go of failure. Sometimes let go of success or let go of guilt or let go of anger or shame or loss. Sometimes we fight to hold on, but the Spirit is saying you've got to move forward. You've got to move forward. Isaiah 43, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I will do, the Lord says, I will do, somebody say a new thing. Everybody say a new thing. Would you just look at somebody and say, God wants to do a new thing for you. He said, God wants to do a new thing. Quit considering. He's saying, quit pondering over what's behind you. I want to do a new thing. Make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What he's saying is I know God's brought you through a lot, but God's ready to do something even greater for you. Maybe I'm talking to somebody today and there's great failure in your past. Maybe I'm preaching to somebody this morning and there's great mistakes in your past. But I tell you, don't let your mistakes define you. You can choose to move forward today. You can make a decision. I may fail. I may have fallen, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep moving. I may have tripped up, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep going in the right direction. Rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. For when I fall, not if I fall, when I fall, I shall arise. When I stumble, when I trip, when I falter, the enemy doesn't get excited when you fall. He gets excited when you decide to sit down and not get back up. But I've got news for the enemy of our soul today. I'm picking up and I'm moving forward. Is there anybody with me today? I'm moving forward, God. Whatever you have for me, I want to move into it. You got to let go of the past, and then you've got to refuse to settle. I mentioned it earlier, but the good can be the enemy of the great. They were out of Egypt, but God wasn't done with them yet. They got into the wilderness and they decided to settle down. They'd even been delivered at one point. Their enemy had been destroyed. Now they've got the tabernacle, the manna, the pillar of cloud, the fire. They've got all this stuff. But the problem was, with all of those good things that we still teach about, preach about, sing about, talk about, with all of those good things, they still were not in Canaan. They were still not in the promised place. God said, this is where I want to take you. This is what I want to do for you. But if they said, oh, this is a pretty good place right here, I think we'll just stay here a while. And of course, there was a whole lot more to it than that. But the problem was that they settled where God had no intention for them to settle. The problem is with settling that if nothing new is moving in and nothing old is moving out, I can spiritually become like the Dead Sea, where there is no life, there's no hope, there's very limited, if any, expectation. It's just survival. It's just maintenance. It's just existence in my life. But can I preach? I know it's a challenging message. But can I preach to you this morning and tell you that God didn't save you so that you could just maintain. God didn't save me so that I could just simply endure. God didn't save me so that I could just barely be determined to hold out to the end. No, He saved me to have victory. He saved me to be an overcomer. He saved me to occupy the promised land that He has for my life. That's why in Deuteronomy 2, He said, you've come past this mountain long enough. It's time to turn northward. He was saying, God's saying, you've been here too long. It's time to move. It's time to move forward. It's time to go beyond. Look at your neighbor, say, it's time to move. It's time to move forward. Don't fear. One man said, moving slowly forward, but rather fear standing still.
The thought of moving can sometimes seem scary, like too much of a hassle, like climbing a mountain. We perceive dangers, or there's possible dangers, whether perceived or real. And so we decide to stay in our own comfort zone. I can decide to stay where I'm most comfortable, but God didn't intend that I do that. We're meant to move forward, just like the sun rises and sets, just like the river that God set in motion keeps flowing, just like the waves are constantly in motion. God intends that his people move from glory to glory, from victory to victory. God intended that his kingdom grow, that his kingdom expand, that I grow in his kingdom. But in order for that to happen, I've got to be willing to move out of my comfort zone. I've got to be willing to say good isn't good enough, but God, I want more of what you have for me. I've got to be willing to say, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you for what you've done, but God, I'm ready to be moving forward. I'm ready for more that you have for me. We understand when we do this that we are in a walk of faith. For finally, they came to the Jordan. They're at the river. A promise perhaps in view. And spies are sent up. And if you read the text, Scripture says, the report was, they said, surely this land, this promised place, it flows with milk and honey. But the people that dwell there are strong, and the cities are walled, and the cities are great. And we saw giants in the land. So the promise was there. But there's also the possibility of difficulty. I tell you today that if you allow yourself to be frozen with fear or inactivity for the sake of possible difficulty in your walk with God, that you cannot occupy the promised land. I have to trust that the same God that brought me out of Egypt, the same God that brought me through on dry ground, the same God that has brought us through time and again, the same God that has brought us through mountains, the same God that has brought us through valleys, is going to bring us through this season. It may be challenging. There may be giants. God didn't say it would be perfect, but he said, be still. Be still. How could he say be still and move forward? It's not two different things. What he was saying for their heart and their mind to be still. In other words, quit worrying. Quit losing sleep. Quit fretting over it. And just go forward, move forward, and trust that I'm gonna be with you. So Caleb stills the people and he says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But we know Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, but these 10 spies, they came back with an evil report, and they brought fear to the people. Everybody say 12 spies, two good, and 10 others. Too good and 10. If you like negativity, you love the 10. If I like glass half empty mentality, then I can't say they're bad, because if I'm a glass half empty kind of guy, I probably identify more with the 10. But 10 said, whoa. Do you see how bad this could go? If we go into the land, we're like grasshoppers. I mean, they're just gonna, we're done. They're gonna destroy us. They're gonna kill us. I mean, I like milk and honey, but you can't eat milk and honey if you're squished like a grasshopper, right? So the 10 said no, but the 2 said yes. You ever wonder why we know and we talk about the names of the 2 faith-filled ones, but we don't even reference the names or know the names of the other 10? Because history never remembers the faithless. It only remembers the faith-filled. History never honors those that hesitated, those that said, oh, you know what, I'm just going to stay where I'm at in God. I prayed enough last year. I'm really not going to grow in God. I'm going to stay where I'm at in my walk with God. You know, I'm doing enough in the kingdom of God. I'm consecrating enough. I'm involving myself enough. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. History never remembers the names of those, but it remembers the names of the Joshua and Caleb that says, you know what? It may not be easy. We may trip up. We may have some challenges, some confrontations, but we're going to move forward into what God has for us. Why? Because this is a faith journey, not a faithless journey. We're going to move forward into the purpose of God. Somebody clap your hands and thank Him for His divine purpose today. Oh, come on, somebody clap your hands and just worship Him for a moment. Lord, I thank You for Your purpose. I thank You for Your plan. I thank You for the victory that You have for us. I'm preaching that if you try to move forward, there will be obstacles. There will be obstacles. It's a given. It's just going to be. And it's not even just in the kingdom of God. I mean, just think about it. If you try to grow a business, there's obstacles. You go to continue your education, there's obstacles. If you try to grow or do or improve anything, there's obstacles. Now, improve your education, that's great. Grow a business, that's great. Remodel your house, that's great. Improve something, you know, natural, temporal in your life, that's great. Nothing wrong with that, that's good. It's fine. But God spiritually has called us not to improve those things, but He has spiritually called me to move forward in Him. He has spiritually called me to walk into greater things that He has in store for me. And so if I choose to do that, I just know there's going to be obstacles. But if I tie myself to the purpose and the plan of God, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. It doesn't matter how big the obstacle is. Let things oppose you. Let people oppose you. Let family, let whatever oppose you. It doesn't matter. Because if you're walking in the will and the plan and the purpose and the direction of God, God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We walk in faith. And if I step one foot in front of the other, and if I make up in my mind, God, this year, in faith, I am moving forward. In faith, I am moving forward. I've got confidence that the same God that made a dry path in the bed of a wet sea, don't you think that He can make a way for you and me? Don't you think that God can open up the doors? Oh, Isaiah says this, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee. Remember who made you, Jacob. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, you're mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And when you go through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. In other words, your clothes aren't even going to smolder. God's going to get you through it. For I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. Do you notice God promised to keep them in three different scenarios? But none of them were scenarios where they were standing still. God was saying, if I get up and move, if I come in His direction, if I walk forward in His will, He's saying, I'm going to keep you, I'm going to preserve you, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to walk with you. So my question to you at the conclusion of this message is, what are you going to do for God in 2017? What are we going to do for God in 2017? Now, we've shouted, we've danced, we've rejoiced, we've clapped, we've done all kinds of things in this service, but I want you to think right now. What do you plan to do for God this year? Luke, how do you plan to move forward this year? You may be thinking, oh, I don't know. I've got too terrible of a past. I've made too many mistakes. I can't move forward. No. It's under the blood. There's therefore now no condemnation. You can move forward. You can move forward. If God can use a murderer and a reprobate and a blasphemer to write over half the New Testament, I'm pretty sure God can get you through the mistakes in your past, forgive you, and answer your questions and let you move forward. Or maybe you say, you know what? The days gone by were so good in my life, and what God did before was so wonderful. I don't know that I could ever recreate them. I don't know that I could ever move forward. Hey, God doesn't want to recreate yesterday. He wants you to move forward into what He has for you today. He wants you to move forward into what He has for you tomorrow. And so God called Israel to get moving. And I feel God calling us to get moving. Would you stand with me? When Israel left Egypt, God did something incredible for them. It's tucked away in Exodus chapter 12. The Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron saying, this month, everybody say this month. Everybody say this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now there's a lot of background of this, but let me just summarize what happened here. In the middle of their calendar year, essentially, it wasn't exactly the middle, but it was not the end or the beginning. While they were in their calendar year, God says, because you're willing to move forward, this month, this day is a new month and a new year. God changed the year. God changed the year. God gave them a spiritual new year, a spiritual beginning, a spiritual fresh start. Think about that. God said, I don't care what day it is on the calendar, this day, because you're moving forward, I'm going to give you a clean start. I'm going to give you a fresh start. You say, we've been 400 years in bondage. That's all right. It's a new day. It's a new month. It's a new start. It's a fresh year, a new place of joy, a new place of peace, a new place of fulfillment, a new place in the kingdom of God. All because they were willing to move forward. I wonder if you'd lift up your face to heaven right now. I wonder if you'd slip a hand to heaven. I've got just enough faith to believe that there's some folks here right now that identify with what I've been doing my best to preach here this morning, that God's got something more for you this year, that God's got something more for us this year. And if you feel like God's got something more for you, and if you want what God has for you in 2017, this is not a complicated conclusion, but if you want what God has for you, for your family, for your home, for the church, if you want what God has for your ministry this year, if you want the plans and the dreams that you've perceived only in your heart and mind to be fulfilled, I invite you very quickly to step out of where you're at and walk to the front of this building and lift up your hands and lift up your voice and say, Lord, I'm ready to get moving. God, I'm ready to move forward. Come on. If you want, it's very simple. It's very simple. Not everybody has to come, but if you want what God has for you, if you want what God has for you in 2017, I think we ought to start this year with a prayer of consecration at this altar. I think we ought to begin this year with a prayer of commitment, saying, Lord, I give myself to you wholly, totally, completely. God, whatever you have for me, I'm ready to get moving. God, whatever you have for me, I'm ready to move forward. God, whatever you have for me, God, I'm not going to hesitate. God, I'm not going to stand in fear, but I'm going to embrace what you have for me. Come on, all across this room, they're getting ready to play and sing, but just lift up your voice and just begin to call upon the Lord. Hallelujah.
Come on, that's it. Lift up your voice and declare it.